The second one, the lay leader of the celebration service, Mr. Conley Simmons, will share that one. The two go together. 735 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah gave this prophecy from Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel.
From the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th verse, and continuing on. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Yeshua, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and he took Mary as his wife. But he didn't have relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the God, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. In just a few moments, we will share an affirmation of faith. It's the favorite affirmation of faith of mine. Because when you come down to the last line of this affirmation of faith, I consider this to be the greatest news has ever been shared with me. And that line and that affirmation is simply this. In life and in death and in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. The name Emmanuel that was to be given Jesus simply means God is with us. In coming into this world, Jesus became the visible sign that God was present in the world with all persons. You know, if you live long enough, you'll know that suffering and pain is inevitable in life. And sometimes even violence. And sometimes we are tossed to and fro and we're like a little child. Would someone please come to my room and sit with me and hold my hand? Presence is what we need so much when we go through difficult times. Now, God will bring us through those difficult times, but here's the good news. Even in the midst of that difficult time that you may be in, God is present. God is with you. Emmanuel. Jesus is God's visible sign of God's presence in the world. Presence in the here and now. You know, I heard someone say, God, if you're out there, and God said back, I'm down there with you right now. And that's what Emmanuel means. It's good news for the world. The world now as it was back then was not without violence, was not without suffering and pain. But what sustained the people through those times and through those ages was the assurance that God was with them and would continue to be with them to sustain them. And that Jesus is the visible sign not only of God's presence in the world, but our hope for the new world to come and the new kingdom to come. There's a big word, a theological word that I like to use from time to time, and the word is incarnation. If you go to the Gospel of John, the prologue simply goes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it goes on and it talks about how the Word became flesh and lived amongst us. And that's what we're talking about when we say Emmanuel. During this series of messages in Advent, we're looking at different names of Jesus. And I think right now this has got to be my favorite name of Jesus, Emmanuel, just simply that God is with us. Now, in Eugene Peterson's translation or paraphrase of the scriptures in John's Gospel, he writes that the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. I like that. And moved into the neighborhood. And if you think about it, that really is the purpose of the church, is to move into people's neighborhoods and to be the visible sign of God's presence, the visible sign of hope that God is with people. You know, so often I feel uncomfortable if I can't fix something. Polly will tell you this. Shortly after I was married, thought it was my job to fix everything. First of all, I can't fix everything. And second of all, the most important thing she wanted from me was not Mr. Fix-It to show up, but for her husband just to be present and with her. The most important thing in my ministry that I have to offer is not that I can solve people's problems, although I can probably do that sometimes, maybe. But the most important thing I can do is just be present with you. To walk into your room if you're in the hospital, to go to your home, just to show up when I'm needed. The most important thing that we can do as a church is offer our presence to people. And so I think that the church's calling is to move into the neighborhoods and be the visible sign, just simply the presence that God is there. Now, there are things that we can do to help. Don't get me wrong. There are lots of things that we can do to help. But the most important thing we can do is to be that visible sign of God's presence. For some time now, there's been a man and his family that have moved into the neighborhood of Southeast Raleigh. Many of you have gone to Southeast Raleigh with Otis. You've walked with him, and you probably discovered something that was quite eye-opening. He had the capacity literally to walk down the streets, to greet people, walk into their homes, walk into their neighborhoods, and be a presence to people. That, without having to say anything, really offered them comfort and a visible sign of God's presence. Without having to preach a sermon, so many ways Otis and his family have been a sermon in Southeast Raleigh. Willingness to go there. Several years ago, a man in our church, very special friend of mine, he's deceased now, Lee Verison, had lunch with me every week because he wanted to become a part of some significant ministry or mission that he could feel good about. Now, I can always keep somebody busy in the church. There's lots of kinds of things you can do. But I knew that Lee wasn't interested in just busy work. He wanted a connection. He wanted to know that he was going to leave this world better than he found it. And he wanted to get involved. And so I introduced him to Otis, and Otis took him to Southeast Raleigh. And the next thing they knew was they were quite a pair. Here you have Otis and Lee walking side by side, this big fella that, looks like Apollo Creed. And then this other fella, he looked the best he could, Lee Verison. And probably caught a lot of people off guard. A white man and a black man walking side by side into the barbershop. And don't think either one of them really needed a haircut. But they were present with people. And lo and behold, it made the world a difference to Lee Verison. And out of that came a book that he wrote. Lee is now no longer with us physically, but he's with us spiritually, because his legacy is living on now through the Bridge the Gap ministry. His lovely wife, Becky, and Kellen Duffy, became involved in that ministry of moving into the neighborhood, becoming the visible sign of God's presence, and they have founded this ministry that continues now. There's a store, I think it's 231 Southeast Street in Southeast Raleigh. There's a store, just a tiny little store, but it offers goods to people, some household goods, some clothing, some things that quite honestly we take for granted, but mean a lot to people. And they're priced at only $3 each, but more importantly, there's something that happens there. People are connected to one another. Out of that came a tutoring thing of people getting their GED degree through Jan Hedberg, Kelly's mother. Different kinds of things have happened. People have asked for a Bible. People have been connected. But there at 231 Southeast Street, this little store, in a small little way, our church has come alongside Otis and his family, and we kind of moved into the neighborhood. Now, it's not a whole lot, but it's a sign, and it's a presence. That's what we're about. Now, the reason that I can show up at your house at any time you need me is because somebody showed up at my house when I needed them. The reason that I give myself to others is because somebody gave themselves to me. The reason that I want to be a visible sign of God's presence to someone else is because somebody's been the visible sign of God's presence to me. I remember a special testimony of this fellow who was serving in Iraq. He said it was one of the roughest times of his life. And one night he was assigned this outpost. It was just a place where he was to go and stay awake all night long and keep awake and just keep watch. And he was by himself, and it was nighttime. And when it's nighttime and you're by yourself and you look up there and you realize how small you are in contrast to the whole universe. And then you realize that, hey, you know what? At any moment, you know your life could be taken from you. And you're away from your family and your friends, and you begin to think about your life and what's the purpose of it all. And you begin to think about, Lord, if I ever get out of here, what might I want to do? And all these thoughts and many more were going through his mind as he was serving in Iraq at this little outpost place. And he shared his testimony like this. I was ready for God to show up. And he said, out of nowhere, this man came, a chaplain, and he said, hey, would you like some company tonight? He said, you have no idea what you mean to me right now. The chaplain just sat down and listened to him. He was a visible sign of God's presence. And that man came back to the United States. He has a family now. He's involved in his church. He gives himself to others. He'll never forget what it meant that someone showed up to be the visible sign of God's presence in his life. And now he goes to other places. That's what it's about. And that's what we get to do together in Jesus' name. And so I invite you now to share with me our affirmation of faith. Let us stand. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Christ, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and hope. In life and death and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.